Well, good morning, everyone. Hopefully, everyone's on that needs to be on. I see three directors online, and there's two directors here present at the boardroom here in Monrovia, California. Welcome. I'd like to begin with the agenda, with the Pledge of Allegiance. So start that up. Okay.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you. And welcome. This is probably our first meeting in a year and a half, and we're here to celebrate that COVID's over, but then again, I just saw the news that the numbers are going right back up. So hopefully we could continue in a positive trend and open up our economy, open up relationships, friendships once again. So we'll go to item number two, roll call. So who's going to do it?
Vanessa.
I will.
Who's there first? Thank you.
Director Fellow?
Here.
Director Trevino?
Here.
Director Garcia?
Here.
Vice President Santana?
Here.
President Chavez?
Present. Thank you. So let the record show that all board members are present for this morning's meeting on July 14th, 8 a.m. We'll go to item number three, adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved by Trevino, second by...
Hello.
Okay, hello. So, any discussions? If not, let's take a roll call vote. So, Vanessa, can you call the roll, please?
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez?
Aye. So, item number three is approved by the board on a 5-0 vote. We'll go to public comments. At this time, anyone wishing to address the board of directors may do so at this time. Do we have any buddy Vanessa?
Good morning, President Chavez. At this time, we received no public comments and there's no hands raised.
Okay, thank you. We'll go to item number five, committee reports. There are none in our packet. We'll go to item number six, consent calendar. There are several items on the consent calendar. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, moved by Director Fellow, second by Director Trevino. Any discussion? If not, we'll take a roll call vote. Vanessa?
Director Fellow?
Aye.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Aye.
President Chavez?
Aye. Thank you. So item number six, consent calendar has been approved on a 5-0 vote. We'll go to item number seven, which is a strategic plan update and fiscal year-end review. Mr. Love.
President Chavez, thank you. Your management team is going to make this presentation today. And I want to say, as we went through this over the last few days, I was really amazed at what was accomplished over the last 12 months in spite of COVID. And what I've started to say is, we used to say, well, we had to do this because of COVID. And now we're saying we were able to accomplish all these things in spite of COVID. And so I just want to give the whole upper district team kudos for what turned out to be a very, very productive year. And so as we go into the strategic plan, we'll go through the individual goals, starting with our vision statement. And on this slide right here, I just want to point out, last time you saw this slide, there were more on the right-hand columns, there were more yellows and a few reds. We've now eliminated all the reds, which are things that we have not really initiated yet, and many of the yellows. So we're still making great progress towards achieving these goals in the strategic plan. So let's go through the mission statement, vision statement, and core values. A mission statement, this is always worth reviewing. And in fact, this is something we want to put up in the boardroom on a large poster. So we're always reminded, what are we trying to accomplish here as a district? So our mission is to consistently meet our region's need for reliable, high quality, and affordable water. Very straightforward, very simple, but a lot of work goes into achieving that mission. Our vision is, and this is what we see ourselves in the future, is a high quality of life in the greater San Gabriel Valley by providing valued water services. Let's move on to the core values. And I always say this is important to me, is those core values include transparency, professionalism, integrity, being collaborative, and being innovative. Go to the next slide. So here are our strategic goals. The primary goals, there's four of them: water reliability, financial integrity, effective workforce and governance, and effective community engagement. And within those, we have a variety of strategies and objectives. And you can see how many strategies and objectives under each one of those. So jumping into water reliability, and I'm going to try and pull it up on my screen. A little hard to see here in the boardroom on the big screen. So, you know, there's a number of strategies here, including planning for reliability, emergency preparedness, water use efficiency, water quality and reliability, main San Gabriel Basin groundwater sustainability, and upper district's facilities, maintenance, and service. So on the planning for reliability, of course, we've completed our urban water management plan. We have a few things in process, including our integrated resources plan, which is contingent on Metropolitan's integrated resources plan, which is still in process. On emergency preparedness, we have dusted off our old emergency response plan, and we've been going through each section of that to update the information and add new relevant information to the emergency response plan. We hope to have that completed by this fall. And now I'm going to turn it over to Patty to cover the water use efficiency.
Good morning, directors. So for water use efficiency, some of the goals that we've identified was to improve our residential, commercial, and industrial education programs. And so for this year, for this past year, you'll recall that the board approved the 6 for 60 program, which we had to tweak the program because of COVID. And so we relabeled it as the San Gabriel Valley Water Smart Home Program. This is focused to our disadvantaged communities using the member agency funds for Metropolitan. So we've designated $200,000 to this program. We rolled it out about 4 weeks ago. We've already completed 20 home installations, and we've got another 20 in the queue. So there is an approval process before we can run this through. And we are aggressively marketing this to our disadvantaged communities and then working with our producers that fall within that higher concentration to let their customers know. And then the other successful conservation program that we've been able to roll out is the water fill station program. You'll recall that more money was added to this program. We've successfully installed 38 units at this point, and we've got 8 in the queue, and we have 20 pending. So we've got a few more that we need to find locations for, but we've got some good leads. But overall, those two programs are very successful, especially the water fill station program. That's just picked up more in speed and doing very well for us. The other item on here, of course, is our presence both at federal and state level in terms of advocating and engaging in legislation. You'll recall we took significant positions on PFAS legislation and then also joining on Metropolitan's bill on constituents of emerging concern, which we hope to take up in January of next year.
All right. Ruben and Nicole, will you promote Steve O'Neill to a panelist when you get a chance? All right. So still on water reliability, and if you advance to the next slide. So here are the major accomplishments for the last year. We mentioned the urban water management plan. The other is, and it took a lot of coordination last fall, and certainly the cooperation of the producers and Water Master, is we sold 54,000 acre feet of untreated water, and we were able to arrange for a 10,000 acre foot wet water delivery last fall, which certainly helps the basin. Wish we could have done more. We also finalized the new letter purchase agreement with Metropolitan and Watermaster for the purchase of the 147,000 acre feet in the Metropolitan Cyclic account over the next 5 years. We have been very active as a district with the Safe Clean Water LA. I serve on two of the watershed area steering committees. Director Trevino serves on the regional oversight committee. Very involved with the Metropolitan on the development of their integrated resources plan and the regional recycled water project. This board took a position last fall in support of the Metropolitan board moving forward with the environmental and preliminary design for that project. And then, as Patty mentioned, our implementation of two new conservation programs, the Water Smart Home Program and the Water Bottle Fill Station Program, including our continued advocacy on state and federal legislative issues. Next slide. I'm going to have Evelyn go over our financial integrity.
Thank you, Tom, and good morning, directors. So just like the water reliability, we are happy to report that as far as the financial integrity goal is concerned, strategy is concerned, we, as you can see in this table, everything is green, so which means that it's either complete or it's ongoing. So we've done it, but we continue, we have to continue doing it. So it's going to be our way of doing business. With the exception of one, there is that yellow, but we're engaged. We're currently engaged in our discussion with the producers. The rate structure of Upper District is under discussion with the producers, which also includes addressing the increasing RTS charge from Metropolitan. So we're doing that, and we hope that we hope to get to a point where the producers and Upper District can have something acceptable to both, that benefit both the producers and Upper District as well. Next slide, please. So these are the highlights of our major accomplishment as far as this strategy is concerned. So last year we adopted the long-range financial plan and reserve policy. So it's the first one that Upper District had in, you know, in its existence. So which we're using to guide us in our financial management. Mm-hmm. And also last year we reduced staff by 20%. And still maintained an efficient workforce. We started with 11 full-time employees and one part-time, and now we're down to 9 full-time employees and one part-time, but we're happy to report that we are still, keeping the same level of service and productivity as we did before. And during the budget process, for fiscal year 2021, we worked hard in reducing our expenses so we can meet our debt service coverage ratio despite the lower anticipated or budgeted sales at that time. And then for fiscal year 2021, we continued those reduced expenses from 2021 of $750,000 and identified an additional $600,000 realized additional $600,000 in savings. And this actually comes from reduction in staff, a reduction in our sales legislative consultant, and then with the completion of our building, we would be able to eliminate our lease expense. So that would, so those three actually translates to our anticipated avoided cost for this coming fiscal year, or basically the fiscal year that we're in today, fiscal year 21-22. And then as we reported yesterday at the Finance and Administration Committee, we are fully funded as far as the post-employment benefit is concerned. These are the retiree benefits for Upper District employees. And so with the board's authorization, we deposited an additional $1 million to the trust fund last month, and so that brings us to fully funded status as far as that liability is concerned. So that's really really good. And then currently, our district reserves are at healthy levels, and as we reported yesterday as well, we are above target. Still below the maximum, but we are definitely watching that. We don't want to. It's not our goal to accumulate excessive reserves, but definitely it it is our continuing goal to at least have the target reserves, or better than target reserves at least. So, and then as I've mentioned, we are currently engaged in rate structure discussions with the producers. We work closely with them, are open to their suggestions, and then we evaluate the options that came up from those discussions. So with that, if there are no questions, I would turn it over to Patty for the outreach and engagement strategy. Patty, you're muted. Yeah.
Thank you. So for outreach and engagement, we've identified five main goals. So the first one being representation at MWD. I will note that there is an update in this box. For the CRA State Water Project tours, you'll recall that Metropolitan put those on hold because of COVID. So we have received notice that they are looking to resume tours in the spring of 2022. And then they will go back onto their normal cycle in July of 2022 for future tours. As far as the relationship with Upper District, Tom and Director Fallow have already started meeting with the new GM, so we are hopeful and looking forward to building that new relationship as that time continues. In terms of engaging Upper District producers with periodic meetings, we've set a defined schedule for our producer meetings and been holding those regularly as needed. Support for Upper District, we have improved our internal processes in terms of our look-ahead calendar and also keeping you informed. Especially during COVID, there were a lot of cancellations or changed meetings, so we tried to improve that process by giving you weekly updates. For community outreach, for our outreach plan and budget, we have completed the fiscal year of 2021 outreach plan, but the board did adopt the 21-22 outreach plan, so we are fully engaged into that new program moving forward. Public perception surveys, you'll note that is in progress. So that was, that budgeted line item was approved in the 21-22 fiscal year budget. So I am working with Marketplace Communications to have a presentation to the board at the next upcoming Government Affairs Committee meeting in August. And then hopefully by then we'll roll out the process to do these public perception surveys in the fall of this year. In terms of our participating in community events, you all have received the schedule of some of the summer concerts that we have reserved to do in some of our cities. We are getting more cities that are coming forward and asking us to do information booths. So as that calendar is updated, we will let the directors know. For the other item that... we're for the federal and state local support. So we are fully engaging Nicole now into the legislative process. So she's done an amazing job in kind of taking on some of those duties. And I think you've seen that more in our bill tracking reports that we provide to the committee. And then also in terms of our communication for the GM report. So we will be working on that going forward to modify and make that report a little bit more streamlined for the directors. So next slide, Ruben, please. So in terms of our major accomplishments in the last fiscal year, so I believe it was at the end of last year, early January, we were notified that we were awarded the 2020 WaterSense Partner of the Year Award. This is the second year running that Upper District has received this honor. In the early part of 2020, obviously, we had to transition into more of an online outreach and messaging engagement during COVID. So I'd like to say that our team pulled together and did a phenomenal job in transitioning to that online content. We developed a number of water quality video series and safety messaging right as COVID hit to ensure the safety of our water supply. We also did a number of landscaping video series that we were able to incorporate not only on our social media, on our website, but then also started transitioning those into advertising opportunities also. And then we had, in lieu of Waterfest, since we couldn't hold Waterfest last year, we created Conservapalooza, and that was a 6-week social media promotions program for our residents. And we engaged them by doing quizzes, scavenger hunts, or finding information on our website or through our video series. And so we were able to give out some conservation products during that fall period. We've also had to adapt our 60th anniversary into an online series. So we created the 60 Years of H2O campaign that we promoted our historical first on social media and the website. We created a 3-part history board presentations during the late summer going into the fall. And then also we created the Upper District History of First videos, incorporating board testimonials and then also what we were able to find out of our archives. On the day of our virtual anniversary, we did have over 100 people join us for that virtual event. We received a joint resolution from the California State Legislature, also a joint resolution from our LA County supervisors, and then certificates of recognition from our members of Congress. And then I will also note that we have received various congratulatory videos, not only from our congressional and state reps, but also received honors from some of our local cities. Another first that we did in the last year was we incorporated Spectrum Online for our app-based advertising. And so we've added them into our media portfolio. We did a test run and we felt that the impressions that we received was a lot more successful and engaging than a print paper. So they are now going to be a part of our portfolio going forward for advertising. And we've adjusted some of our print advertising to incorporate Spectrum. So, which is a good thing because we didn't necessarily have to increase our budget for that. We just made some changes. And I'm very proud to say that with the team, we've been able to maintain an active presence in our cities and communities, especially during COVID, with no additional impact to our budget. And if there are any questions, that concludes that portion.
Excellent. Thank you both for the presentation. Do we have any questions from directors?
Well, actually, we've got more of the presentation. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. This is the fourth objective. Although outreach and engagement is listed last, in order for the flow of this, we thought we'd talk about workforce and governance last. And so on workforce and governance, you see several strategies here. And I just want to hit highlights on a couple of them. Under the workforce HR awareness, the last line there is to evaluate our HR support needs, which we did a couple of years ago. But I don't think we've discussed with the board what we've decided to do. So we do have HR support from ADP. ADP does our payroll, but they also have HR support. And so they have individuals, experts in HR that review our policies and discuss more routine issues. For the more detailed review and more complicated HR issues or labor issues, Stephen O'Neill has identified an attorney within their former firm with labor experience, Christine, I believe, and she has spent a fair amount of time reviewing our policies and advising us on HR issues as well. So I wanted to let you know we have kind of a double support. For routine stuff, it's typically ADP. For the more complicated or challenging HR issues, which really we don't have a lot of those, we do rely on our legal counsel for that. On the accountability, and one of the things that we have not quite completed is update our full performance evaluation process. And so that's one that we're going to reach out to our HR support to review our performance evaluation forms and see where we can improve those. The rest of these, we feel we are complete. I do want to say on all of the goals, where although you see a lot of green and we say it's complete, most of these are ongoing and we still monitor and we still have to continue to look for ways to improve on every one of these objectives. And then the last one that you show yellow here on workforce governance is, of course, the new building. I wish that was complete, but unfortunately, it's going to take a few more months And but we are moving forward. We have picked up a little bit of time on the schedule, but we will, it's not enough to move in prior to the end of the fiscal or the calendar year. Excuse me. Next slide. So major accomplishments under this category. We did complete the compensation survey in 2020. We have introduced for the board's consideration, this will come up at the next board meeting, tiered health and retiree benefits. We have identified ways to provide internal advancement opportunities for staff. Microsoft Office suite training, that includes Excel, Word, and all the other programs, PowerPoint that come with Microsoft Office, as well as other HR training to the staff. We've maintained the same level of service. The staff worked tremendously effectively during COVID when we were remote working, and then successfully advocated for some special district funding in 2021's California state budget. Next slide. So in summary, so we adopted this in March 6, 2019. We are in our third year. It was a 3 to 5 year strategic plan, so we're doing really well in the third year. Of the 93 objectives, 79 of the objectives are complete. As of February, 59 were complete. So just between February and now, we've knocked off another 20 objectives. We still have 14 objectives that we do need to make more progress on. So the next steps, and this is homework for the board, we will continue to monitor our completed objectives and continue to work on those objectives in progress. So what I want the board to think about is I've thought through when we would be appropriate for us to meet in person at a retreat and do an update of the strategic plan. I am thinking early in the calendar year, around February. And so I want the board to kind of think about that and think about where we may want to go to have that strategic retreat. Remind the board, when we did it last time, Monrovia graciously offered the mountain cabin up on the hillside, and that's a nice venue. Also, we need to think about, do we want to do this on a weekday? Do we want to try and pull this off on a Saturday morning and dedicate a good 4 hours to go through a strategic plan update? So that's just for the board to think about. We'll continue to discuss this in the coming months, and then we'll start to set up a plan for the strategic plan update retreat. And that's everything we have.
Excellent report, great update. It's amazing how much the district has done despite COVID, and looks like we didn't miss a step. You know, thank my colleagues for their input on the strategic plan as well. And it looks like that in February 2022, sounds like a good idea. I would prefer we do it probably on a Saturday. That way there's no other distractions Saturday morning, but we could take a poll of the board. Any questions on the strategic plan, directors?
Yeah, Mr. President?
Yes, Dr. Hello.
Yeah, my hat's off to the staff. I think it's an outstanding report. One thing I wanted to do is request, Tom, if you could send the slides to each of the directors, because I'd like to have our accomplishments so I can keep it. Maybe we should talk about this in Mr. Trevino's Committee on Communications and Legislation. I want the public to know what we're doing. We do so much, and I think more than any water board around here. And I'd like the public to know more about what we're doing. And one of the other things, too, I'd like the directors to think about is that we are going to have to ask more of the public in conservation. We have water for the next 2 years, but if this goes into a historic drought, we don't know what we're going to do. And so the governor really wants us to concentrate on conservation. And I'm thinking if we could get, I think Spectrum's been very powerful for us, but also the billboards on the freeway. If there's some way we could get these by donation, maybe or have the other water boards go in with us, but an effective message that people will have to conserve more. But I think we've done a great job. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments from directors? If not, then thank you for that. And we will go to item number 8, which is informational items on the agenda. We have your press release and news articles there that you may read at your leisure. We have number 9, attorney's reports. So, Stephen O'Neill, you're up.
Yes. Can you hear me, President Chavez?
Yes.
Great. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I apologize for not being on the Zoom. I had a for some reason I don't have the Zoom invitation, but I have a brief report this morning. In the past several weeks, it's been pretty quiet, but worked with Evelyn on the investment policy edit that that you approved today, also on the employee benefits planning that's been going on. But I did want to report that recently the governor issued another executive order concerning the relaxed Brown Act requirements that we've been either enjoying or suffering through for the last, 18 months. As you, I'm sure you know, with the relaxed requirements, we can have telephonic meetings without some of the formalities that were required previously. The governor has announced that effective September 30, we're going to be back to the regular Brown Act requirements for a telephonic meeting. And I just want to take a second to review those because I've had some directors who've told me they really like the flexibility that's offered through a telephonic meeting. And if we get back to the existing Brown Act requirements that are, you know, outside the executive order, once we do resume after September 30th, we're going to have the same requirements that a quorum of the board must be within the district if we're having a telephonic meeting. And also the remote location where the director is located has to be open to the public and the agenda has to be posted at that location. And, of course, we'd have to continue with the roll call votes. I had heard that there was some legislation that was being floated to kind of extend this, and I'd ask Patty if she knows anything about that, because I had heard that there was some legislation that was going to try and make this permanent, but I'm not sure of the status of that. But with that, I just wanted to conclude this report with a reminder that on September 30th, we'll be back to the old way of doing business, and if we have a telephonic meeting, we'll have to respect those requirements. And that concludes my attorney's report.
Thank you. Patty, do you have any updates on that legislation?
Yes, Director. So the bill that that is sponsored by CSDA has gone through a number of amendments, but it was to address the ability for the board to conduct meetings in telephonic capabilities, but only in the case of an emergency either declared by a state, local, or county jurisdictional body. That has been amended to it can only be when there's a state emergency declared by the governor. So it seems like these bills are continually being pared back to what they were initially introduced to do. There is the Three Valleys bill that is still remaining that would have allowed for the teleconference option. That is a 2-year bill, and so that will not be picked up until January with the hope that it could move for the next legislative year. But as of right now, the two that are pending would not allow us to continue in the format that we are right now. It would only be allowed if it was a state declared emergency.
Okay. Thank you for that update. And anything else, Mr. O'Neill?
No, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. We'll go to item number 10, the engineer's report. And I don't think it's Mr. Johnson. I think it's someone else, right?
No, he's not in the office today.
Hi, Danny. Welcome.
Good morning, everyone. I'll be preparing the engineer's report. Baldwin Park Key Well, as of last Friday, July 9th, the key well was at 190.4 feet. The historical low was November 21st, 2018 at 169.4 feet. So we're still above the historical low. The 190.4 from last Friday. This is a decrease of 2 feet from the prior month and 14 feet lower than a year ago. The reservoir storage, the combined storage was 11,296 acre feet as of July 13th. After minimum pool requirements, or we're at minimum pool right now, LA County Flood Control has indicated there's about 33,000 acre feet available for direct use or groundwater replenishment. USG3 deliveries, there are no deliveries through USG3 during June and no deliveries to the San Gabriel Canyon during June. Rainfall, this is for the fiscal year ending June 30, 2021. Pudding Stone Dam, rainfall was 6.23 inches, which is 34% of average. And LA Civic Center was 5.82 inches, which is 38% of average. Water quality, Stetson has not received any public notice of well shuts down due to contamination. And that's the end of my report.
Thank you. Any questions for our engineer? If not, then thank you for that report, Jane. We'll go to item number 11, which is the general manager's report. Mr. Lowe.
Directors, I want to kind of tee off of what Director Fellow brought up about our communication with the public in this situation. And by the way, Director Fellow and all directors, you should have received that PowerPoint with the strategic plan objectives yesterday from Vanessa. So check your email. If you don't have it, let us know. So last night I received an email from a staff with the City of Monrovia, and they had presented their urban water management plan to their city council last night, and they got a lot of questions with the situation. Are we going to get any state water project water? What's happening with desal? Is Metropolitan investing in, you know, local resources above, you know, the Carson Recycled Water Project? And what is the long-term future? What do we look at in the future? So it tells me, and Patty and I just talked about this yesterday, is I think with the governor's new drought declaration calling for 15% voluntary conservation, the rest of the state, frankly, is in really serious situation related to water supply when compared to Southern California and the other county area, San Francisco, that has not been declared a drought emergency by the governor at this point. But our communities are asking questions. The people in our communities are asking questions. So we've been, you know, gently saying, yeah, we all need to conserve and we need to increase our efforts to conserve. But we're okay for this year and probably for next year. But in Metropolitan's committee meeting on Monday, I didn't listen to the whole thing, but the Metropolitan staff reported that demands within their service area or demands on Metropolitan are creeping up, and they're creeping up to the highest level they've seen in 3 years. Now, it's not nearly as much demand as it was prior to the last drought, but it is creeping up, and it tells us we do need to do more and communicate more effectively with our communities. So we'll be working on a plan, communication strategy, as well as a messaging to more effectively get out to our communities this summer, because they're starting to pay attention. And like the last drought, until, you know, when the governor starts declaring drought emergencies, it's also an opportunity, because we can tell them about conservation in a wet year when it's not a drought. We really don't get much attention. But we have their attention, so let's take advantage of that and work on a communication strategy throughout the rest of the summer and into the fall. And that's other than my written report, that's all I have.
Thank you. Any questions to our general manager? If not, thank you for the report. We'll go to item number 12, Metropolitan Report. It's in our packets. Dr. Perlow, did you want to add anything to that report?
Yes, and the Met has met Monday and Tuesday, and hopefully you'll be getting that summer. I think you have an old one in the packet. But for MWD, it's been the closing of one successful chapter in its history and the beginning of a new chapter, and we hope that it will end just as successfully. MWD GM Jeff Keitlinger ended his 15 years at the helm of MWD with numerous parties, and there's more to come. One is tonight. And at his first party, which was an outstanding one, it was a virtual party, and a tribute to him. His children also appeared, which was very touching. His three children, and talked about him. And lots of talk by Senator Dianne Feinstein and her entire staff of advisors, and Congresswoman Grace Napolitano and Congressman Ken Calvert. And of course, Felicia Marquez and Patricia Melroy were part of it. And Jeff has, in all of the parties, has talked eloquently and discussed, particularly in his first party there, what the success is under his leadership. And it is very impressive. It's a list of 26 projects, including the QSA, Palo Verde Irrigation, Arvin Edison Banking Program, Colorado River Guidelines, Diamond Valley Lake, Inland Feeder, Semi-Tropic Program, Palo Verde Land Investment, Turf Removal, the purchasing of properties in the Bay Delta, expansion of Lake Mead, and beginning steps to lead to a regional recycling program that may include Southern Nevada. And he also left a list for the new GM. And perhaps one of the nicest farewell parties took place in Chinatown Sunday. It was by invitation only, which meant only the people he wanted there. And the chairwoman asked me to talk about my relationship with Jeff, which has been a good one. I have great respect for Jeff. And I talked about when we used to go to D.C. with him and how impressive he was. And the going away gift was a painting. He always liked the view from his window, so he got an oil painting that we all chipped in for, and he was very happy with that. The challenges ahead, according to Keitlinger, are the renegotiations in the Colorado River, dealing with the Delta conveyance, and meeting the vision of a billion-dollar regional recycling water project. And as Jeff left, Adele came in, and Adele did meet with me and Tom and last Thursday for lunch, and I found him quite charming and appears, and I think, Tom, you can attest to this, his heart and head are in the right place. And the three of us talked about the importance of the San Gabriel groundwater basin, the need for more recycling and greater water storage. And I think he'll be coming to our board in the next few months to meet all of you. And seems like a nice guy. In other news, directors late yesterday, or Monday, received the long-awaited Shaw Law Study Group about working conditions at MWD and her field offices. And the board will have until July 20th. It's about, I think, 160 pages, and parts of it have been redacted so because people who were interviewed didn't want their names mentioned. And I've read the whole report, but I cannot comment on it until it is released to the public next week. But we'll see how one side, how the sides will play it. But I'll talk more about it next time. Finally, the top 10 winners of Solar Cup were released. And Jennifer, you will like this. During COVID, the students worked on robotics, and they put together powerful calculations about these about water streams. And it was amazing. And Jennifer, I think Mountain View High School is in your district, and that was named one of the top 10 schools. So was happy that we got upper district got into that lot. And a statistic to leave you with. Is dealing with the lack of water and reductions on the state water projects. It's been pointed out and met this week that we've lost as much water in 1 year that would be the equivalent of 9 Diamond Valley lakes. And that is incredible and sad. However, we have banked enough water for the next 2 years. And this means that, as I mentioned, we have to put more effort into water conservation. It's what the governor is saying, and more recycled water projects. And we're looking at the state and the federal funds, particularly the new GM and Grace Napolitano's bills that is putting forth $55 billion for water recycling projects. And the GM believes and really wants us to get a large chunk of that for the regional recycling project. And that's what's happening at Met. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? Yes, Director Trevino.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Tony, I'm really glad that the Shaw investigative report is out. As you know, I had quite a bit to do with that report being generated. And also, I'm really glad to know that some of the names in that report have not been redacted. So that was a discussion that was held at the board meeting. And as you know, you were there. So I'm glad to hear that, because I think that report needs to be as transparent and as accurate as possible in depicting what's going on out in the desert, and also with our women employees. So thank you, Bob. Great report. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. With that, item 13 is the water quality report that is in your packet. Just wanted to reiterate what happened at that meeting. Our attorney went over some of the requirements for attending meetings. We also did approved a task order for Stepan Engineers regarding Proposition 68. And we also reaffirmed our investment policies within the board. So a lot of work, and I want to thank staff to the WQA staff for putting that together. Other than that, we'll go to item number 14, Water Master Report. That packet's in there. Does any director wish to add to that report? If not, then we'll go to item number 15, which is the AB 1234 compliance report. That is in the packet. Does anybody need to add to that report? If not, then we'll dispense with that item and go to item number 16, director's comments. And we'll begin with Dr. Fellow. Director's comments?
Excuse me. I just have one comment. It was going through my mind when we were talking about the mission statement, and perhaps at our retreat we should think about, I think it's very important today that we have the words equity and diversity is dealing with the workforce and dealing with meeting public needs and trying to close the gap between the various regions and water quality and quantity. But something we should think about because people are looking at these things and we should be compliant. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll go to Director Garcia.
No, I just want to encourage people to look at their lawn and sprinklers this summer. It's what I've been spent the last month refitting my sprinklers and taking out part of my lawn. So I just want to encourage everybody to do that now. The weather's not too bad in the morning, but it's a good investment in your time and money and our water supply. So it's a good time to do it.
I'm going to have you come to my house. I need help.
It's mostly my husband and my father. I'm mostly directing it. That's what I'm good at. I'm a good facilitator. But,
you know.
Yep, you're a good director. Welcome. So we'll go to Director Trevino.
I have nothing to share.
Thank you. Director Santana.
You know, It's so encouraging to hear about our strategic plan update to see how great we are doing as a district. And it's also eye-opening to hear about some of the challenges that we're going to be facing ahead. And it's just so important that we do take the forward step in communicating with the public, because I think water is going to become a bigger and bigger issue in our area as we move into this, you know, move into the future. So I'm happy to hear that we're going to be working on that too. But yeah, I just want to commend. I was so happy to hear about the strategic plan, about everything we're doing, about our Water Sense Award, about our budget, how we're doing with that. And there are going to, like I said, I think that the communication is going to be really important with the public as we move forward. I'm glad we're going to be taking a step forward with that. Thank you.
Thank you. For myself, nothing to report. So I'll go to item number 17, future agenda items. Not hearing anything, we'll go to item number 18. Just want to ask the attorney, no closed session items today?
Steve might be muted, but no, I already talked to Steve. We do not have a need for a closed session.
Great. Anything before us that we need to take care of, Mr. Love?
No.
Okay. So with that, we have dispensed with all our agenda items, and we're at the point of adjourning. So thank you and for joining us. Bye-bye.